We're in our series, What Time is Christmas? And my whole purpose in all of this was that with the 5 weeks that we've got during the month of December, that we would live out, starting, of course, with my own home, we'd live out the real heart and soul and mind of Christmas, that we would have that during this season and not get all caught up in the clutter and the pressures and everything of life. And so that's what I'm wanting to do, just take God's word and us hit at that. And hopefully it's going to feed your soul and has already done that. I've had them put at the top of your outline because I'm in three different passages this morning just to lay out the foundation, because the message, if you notice, is as far as what time is Christmas, it is time to embrace the season of our lives. Now, we're in the Christmas season, and we have four seasons in our year. But what I want you to understand is that God is also teaching us, and what I want to open up to you is that there are seasons in our life that we go through. And I want to just hit on that and just put that out in front of you, because I think it is absolutely huge. So if you notice at the top of your outline, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That's a critical section of that. Because, here's why, our eye is on him because we trust in him. So what God is teaching us here is peace during the Christmas season, peace in our heart, peace in our home, does not come from a trouble-free life. We have to get away from that. We live on a broken planet, right? It's broken. We're broken. We are around people who are broken. So peace doesn't come from a trouble-free life. It comes from the presence of God in my life and from the involvement of that God in my life and my acknowledgement of that. It comes from you and me trusting in the providential work of God in your life. If you want to follow up with that on Scripture, then go back to the Old Testament, read about the life of Joseph. Go through the life of Joseph again in the latter chapters of the book of Genesis. The providence of God is all over the story of Joseph, as well as in the book of Esther. You see the providence of God in that life. All right, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night shall not cease. All right, as best I can determine, this is the first stated principle in the Word of God about the reality of seasons in life on the earth. In other words, God has just revealed to us in his creation of this world, he has installed this principle that there will be the seasons that is needed. They cycle. That's part of the nature of our planet. Then Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time, listen, for every event under heaven. Now, here's what God has just done. God has gone from the seasons of the year, and he has now revealed to us the reality of the seasons that are in my life and yours. And what God is saying is there is a cycle of seasons in our lives. And this is like the second principle of life. And the reality is my life and your life has a cycling of seasons. Just like there are seasons on the planet, winter, spring, summer, and fall, there are cycles in my life and yours. Now, remember last week we were talking about what we need, the main point of Christmas, which of course is getting the message of our Lord out. And remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel of the Lord spoke to the shepherds, and the first thing out of his mouth was, do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. Of course, you're seeing an angel. You don't see those every day. There was a fear that came in. He said, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ
the Lord.
So here's what God is saying. My relationship with God's only Savior, Jesus Christ, is the basis for a no-fear life. So if I'm gonna live a no-fear life, it's gonna come through my point and your point with the Lord Jesus. And would you agree with me, there is a lot in this world that's going on a day-to-day basis on this broken planet to cause fear and concern, right? There are health issues all the time. Part of our family here on the Hill is coming to me with changing health issues, surprising things that come up to us. Then there are financial problems, people talking about finances in their life. There are family crises of one kind or another. Concerns and issues with regards to our children or our grandchildren. Are you going to have a job next year? Is your job going to be secure? What is the doctor going to say about the last lab results that you've just taken? Those are real issues and those are real problems. And so here's the good news, God says, or the question is, where is that good news of great joy? How is it that don't be afraid can work in my life when I'm in the midst of all this stuff that happens in my life and in your life? How do we live a do not be afraid life? Well, a couple of decades back, I learned what I want to share this morning the first time. And I want to be totally honest, I don't have this down pat. God keeps working it in my life. And that's the reality. But what I want to share with you, and this may be the first time some of you have heard it, it may be something that you've heard before, and maybe it'll just be a timely reminder for where you are. But this is where God has led me for today. And so the whole thing is about restoring your Christmas joy. So I want you to look in your life point outline number one. Right now, the reality is all of us are in a season of life. You and I are in a season of life. And here's that Christmas truth in your outline. We all cycle seasons of life. And our cycle differs usually from our family and our friends. And what this means is the season that I'm in is not necessarily the season that Catherine's in. Nor is it the season that Joel and Kristen, my sons, would be in. And that's important to know. Why? It's important for me to know that the season I'm going through does not always mesh with the season that Catherine's going through. Now, why is that important? Because that can cause friction. Okay? And so I need to understand I'm going to go through a season, she's going to go through a season, but they're not necessarily going to be the same season. And if I don't understand that, then that can cause friction between us. So I want to put this down as a truth in your outline. Every Christmas that rolls around, you and your family are either growing closer or growing apart in frustration from the seasons of your life. And that can be really eye-opening. And I just want you to understand that. Let me give you two things to note. And I put in your outline. And this is a way of just, I want to rehearse it again because I want you to hear it. Number one, when God created the earth, he set up seasons of weather. That's Genesis 8:22. And the second thing to note is God also set seasons of human activity. Things that you and I are going to go through. Let me read again Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is an appointed time for everything in your life. Did you hear that? There is an appointed time for everything in your life. And there is a time for every event under heaven. God put seasons on this earth. Why? Because anytime you have sunshine all the time, what do you have? You have a desert, right? Stuff dies, right? So you have to have cycles. You have to have that in order for life to be maintained. All plants need to go through some kind of cycle so that it can keep everything going. And what God is saying is the same thing is true of my life and your life. I have to have seasons, and so do you, if I'm going to grow. Growth in my life comes from me walking through the season God has me in and coming out on the other side. So let me give you four truths about the seasons that you're in right now. Four truths. These will be huge to bring in some relief to your life. Number one, you can't control them. That's good news, isn't it? Kinda, sorta, a little. You can't control it. In other words, I am not in control, and neither of you, when a season changes. I am not in control of how long that season stays with me. That is not under my control. And usually the signal that I am entering a season of change is I have an irritation in my life. I have a life interruption. I have the arrival of a prolonged inconvenience. And so when your season changes, your neat little schedule goes right out the window. Everything that you were planning, you just had something all set up, and all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore. You know why? Because you've just been launched into a new season of life. And so when your life changes and you have no control over it, you're in a new season of your life. I realize right now, and I just go ahead and show this, I realize right now I am in a season of learning how to deal with increased pressure. All of a sudden, my life has just like gone nuts. And it is every day, all day long, that I'm answering this, I'm answering that, and I no sooner get through with one thing and I enter into something else. Does anybody identify with that? If you are, meet me down front and we'll all cry together. Okay? So, and I have tried to change that, and I can't. And so this, you know, this really boils all this up. Because I realize I'm in a season and there is something God is wanting me to learn again in that. And so if you look in your outline, two things that I want to share with you under this is that A, grief is a season. Grief is a season. An extended illness that you were not planning. A permanent change maybe in a family dynamic. You know, the kids move out. You say, grief? I'm not grieved. but it can bring grief at some point that they have moved out. A baby arrives, and that can cause stuff to happen. A spouse leaves, a job change, a long-term health issue, loss of a loved one. Do you know what you call that? You call that a season of grief. You say, how long does it last? You're not in control of that. And I can't tell you, and neither can anybody else, how long it's going to last. And here's the insight. We may know differing seasons of life come, but we can't predict their arrival or their exit. You're not in control of that. And so you need to learn to roll with it. And so if somebody is in grief, if they've lost a loved one, the last thing you need to tell them is get on with your life. Don't do that. That is spoken by someone who's not been there. You cannot tell somebody how long they're going to grieve. That is between us and the Lord and what's going on inside of us. And the second thing is waiting is a season. We have to wait so much. Would you agree with that? You know why we have to wait? Because we're not in control. If we were in control, we wouldn't have to wait. So seasons are out of our control. And when I worry about the season that I'm in, it only makes me more miserable. Why? Because I cannot change it. Like the season of ongoing pressure that I'm in. I can't change that. But God is wanting me to learn something from that. And sometimes these seasons come and they go quickly. Other times they linger and you can't change that. And so here's a stabilizing truth. This is what I want you to understand. God is determining your season and its duration. Let's all say that together. God is determining your season and its duration. God is doing that. God sends my season. God sends what I am going through. God is in control of what comes into my life as His son. If it isn't sinful, if it isn't wicked, if it isn't cruel, if it isn't immoral, then He didn't send it, but He permitted it. And He allowed it to come. And so how do I know that God is determining the season of my life? Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. God controls the times and the seasons. He makes and unmakes kings. Listen, God sets up world rulers and takes others down. God, not fate, not the devil, not another human being, is in control of the seasons of our life and neither in control of the seasons of our nation. God is in control. Ultimately, all things move toward a destiny and a goal that our God has in mind. And the second thing I want you to notice is seasons of life are often confusing. A lot of times we don't understand. There are going to be some seasons you're going to be in, and you're not going to understand why you're going through that, and neither is anybody. And I'm not putting down counseling. We need sometimes. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? So what that means is there are times I just need, you just need to sit down with somebody who cares. And that somebody who cares needs to realize, I can't fix you. And really, I don't want nobody to fix it. I know that's not correct. I don't want anybody to fix me. I just want somebody to care enough about me to listen. Huh? Amen. So bear you one another's burdens. But then the Bible also says, every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, nobody can relieve me of my burden. It's mine. And it's between me and the Father. And I am going through what I'm going through because God has a plan. And here's what I want you to understand about what I've just said. Here's the insight. Seasonal understanding is usually after the fact. In other words, I don't understand it while I'm in it. I understand it in retrospect. I understand it in looking back through what we've been through. We usually look back to understand the events of our life. And here's the next insight. Some seasons of our lives we will never understand. You say, how can you say that? Because Jesus said it. Listen to what our Lord said, John 13, verse 7. What I do now, you do not understand, but you shall understand hereafter. In other words, I handle the inexplicable down here by trusting that my Father is ultimately the one in control of my life. And even though I may not understand why I am going through what I am going through, illness, whatever it is, there will be a day when I arrive home, I'll understand. Amen. We shall know as we're known. Isn't that good news? Amen. Huh? Now, I know it may not scratch the itch, but it helps you understand why you're itching. Number three, God has a purpose in every season. And maybe you thought you had trust in God securely down. You know, somebody, I've nailed this. I trust the Lord. You know, we can preach well in the daylight. It's in the dark that preaching's hard. And we've got this down. I trust the Father. God is good. He's going to take care of me. But then a season comes on you that you have never had before in your life. And it hits you in a way that you've never been tested before. And what God is simply saying is, I've got a reason for the season that you're in. There's a reason. And so it's Romans 8:28. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. We are assured and know that God, being a welcomed partner in our lives, all things are working together and are fitting into a plan. Not your plan, whose plan? God's plan. They are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love him and are called according to his design and purpose. So everything isn't working for good for everyone. It is only working for good if he is your Father. If you belong to him through faith in Christ, that in Jesus Christ you've been adopted into the family. This is one of the great truths of Scripture. Amen. And here's the next truth. If you're a believer, nothing comes into your life and mine that hasn't been filtered by the Father. Amen. Nothing. My life and yours are not random acts and series of freak accidents and occurrences and circumstances that just happen. Nothing happens in my life by chance. I am a son of the King. and I am watched over. God does not cause all my problems. I'm quite able to come up with plenty on my own. And I live in a world of people who make screwy decisions. I am surrounded by people who do dumb things, no offense. And I'm certainly not speaking about anybody here. God doesn't have to plan bad times in my life. They happen. They happen. Because I make bad decisions, and other people that are a part of my life, they also make some bad decisions. But here's what God says. He says, I promise you, every single event of your life, no matter how dark, how shameful, how bad, how bitter you feel about it, God said, listen to me. If this is a deal. This is a test. If you bring it to me, if you come to me, I will bring good out of it to you if you trust me and you walk with me. If you stay with me, I will bring good to you. It may not be good, but I will bring good to you. So in your difficult decision, what do we say? We just pray, Father, you know how to do it. And I'm asking you to bring good out of this. And you get to determine what that good is going to be. Now here's the thing. In that passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verses 2 through 8, there are 28 different life experiences that Solomon mentions. On this planet, there are four seasons. But in our lives, there are dozens. I can have a multitude of seasons in my lifetime. If I am following God's will, if I'm really trying to live my life according to the way the Father wants me to live, then every season of my life and that of my family has meaning and purpose and value in God's plan. That's one of the reasons why Catherine and I are not settled until every grandchild is in the family of God. Why? Because when everyone is in, then I know nothing is going to happen in my family that hasn't first of all gone through the Father. And that's what I want, right? That's what we want. You remember Ray Stevens' song? Some of you saying, who? No, in this group, everyone remembers Ray Stevens. It's the next two services that they're like, who? So Ray Stevens, everything is beautiful. In its own way, everything is beautiful. That's not true. Ray was wrong. He misquoted scripture. Cancer is never beautiful. Ever. Neither is a car wreck. Neither is child abuse. Neither is a brother or sister in Christ losing a job and not knowing where their next dollar is going to come from. Neither is a business closure. Those are never good. Ray misquoted Ecclesiastes 3:11, which says, God makes everything beautiful in its own time. You know what that means? That means that right now what I'm going through or what you're going through may not be good. Maybe it's ugly. Maybe your finances look ugly. Maybe your health, your marriage, your friendship, even your future looks ugly. But God says, if you bring it to me, if you bring the pieces of this mess to me, he said, I promise you, in my time, I will bring good to you in the midst of that mess. Can you say amen to that? And the fourth thing is, sow now, reap later. S-O-W. You know, farmers know that you sow in one season and you reap in the next, right? I mean, that's the way it works. You don't plant today and reap tomorrow, okay? That's how we want it, but that's not how it is. If people want to say, okay, I need a financial blessing, so I'm going to tithe today. And they're expecting a windfall Monday morning. What is that? No, it's not going to happen that way. No, you plant the seed of tithing year in and year out, and God's blessings begin to pile up in your life. And then you have a run for years because you started that cycle. You just keep getting crops coming in. Why? Because you're doing what God wants you to do. You're in that season of faithfulness. So how do you respond to God's season in your life today? How do you do that? Well, Galatians 6, 9. Let me say what I was wanting to say. How you respond to God's season in your life today comes out in your life tomorrow. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the truth is, reaping a blessing doesn't come to those who drop out, walk off, and go back into the world. Because you simply don't understand why God would allow this to happen in your life. So number two, your takeaway from today. What's the takeaway? Number one, what's God teaching me in this season of my life? That's what you asked. That's what I want you to wrestle with. And the truth is, life is a test. It's preparation for eternity. My life down here is a warm-up act for eternity. And so God calls me to salvation, and his next goal is to teach me character qualities. God is seeking to build me as a man of faith. That's what he wants. Why? Because my character is the only thing I'm taking to heaven. It's only my character, and that's all you're taking. In every season, there is a lesson to learn. The wrong question, and I know if you're like me, you ask it, you do. The wrong question is, listen, Lord, why is this happening to me? That is the wrong question. Stop asking that. The right question is, Lord, what am I supposed to learn? What is it you're wanting me to learn? That I become a better man or a better woman. Number two, in the school of life, if you flunk the test, you take it over. That is worth the price of admission this morning. If you flunk the test, we're in the school of life. If you flunk it, you take it over. That's why some people are taking the test over and over and over and over and over and over and over. They're like, I don't understand why this keeps happening in my life. Newsflash, it's because you are not learning. God keeps testing you because you keep flunking. If you don't learn patience, and of course you never ask God for that. Do not. If you've done that, go back and say, Father, could you just kind of cancel that out? That was in a moment of absolute stupidity on my part. I'm really not interested in that right now because I know you worked it into my life on your own. Listen, if you have not learned to be patient, God will put in your life, in my life, a series of irritations until you do. And so here's the invitation question. What's the most important lesson in your present season of life? And so I outline. Let me give you three things. Number one, trust not in yourself, but in God. That's number one. That's at the top. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9, this happened that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God. You go back and you read 2 Corinthians 1. You just read that chapter, and you will find Paul is saying, we've been through hell. He said, there are times we thought we were going to die. He said, but we learned this happened that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but trust God. So that's why we went through what we went through. And so God is going to lead us into many seasons of life to learn above everything else, God can be trusted. I can trust him with my life. Number two, he is taking us through this season because we need to learn that we have to make choices. Listen, you cannot do everything. I can't. You cannot do it all. You cannot be everything that everybody needs you to be. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. And what that simply means, in the season that you and I are in, we've got to make some choices. And what that means is, what you had been able to do, you may not be able to do right now. Why? Because your season's changed. Does that make sense? And so our role, you know, for me, for Sarah, for others of us that are on staff, and I'll just say this. You may get in a season of life. Remember, the whole thing is about your heart. It's about walking with the Lord. You may get in a season of life where some things that you have been doing in the church, you cannot do. Why? Because your season's changed. You just can't. Why? Because you're like, man, I'm not in control. My life has gone screwy. And I can't. I can't keep doing this because it's different. And then the third thing, you don't have lots of time. And I thought about this primarily about all of the young families that we have because of all the kids we've got. I mean, that's why we're working to build a children's building. All these young families that we've got. I want young families to understand kindergarten, grade school, high school. You know what those are? Those are seasons. And when they are gone forever. Parenting is a season. And one of the things Catherine and I learned early, for which I'm grateful to God, and you hear me, if you lose the soul and the heart of your child, you have lost everything. You've lost the whole reason for being a parent. If you lose their heart. So what's your season? There are things you can do in your season, things you should do, and there are things you cannot do in the season that you're in. Maybe you did it in the previous season, but there are opportunities now in this season, and God says, I want you to learn what I'm teaching you today. I want you to walk with me. So let's bow our heads. Stacy and the team are going to come. We're going to have just a little bit of music. We're not going to sing, but I want to ask you to just stand and bow your heads before the Lord. Would you do that? Just stand together. We're going to close. And what I want to ask you to do, some of you maybe are in a very challenging season. It's difficult. I've told you about mine because I want you to understand that I understand where you are, what part of what you're going through. And what I want out of this is that this morning you're able to identify you're in a season. That's a good thing. And to understand it's only for a period of time. And what I want to pray over you this morning and why I'm going to ask you to come is I want to ask you to come and bring that season with you. And we're going to pray. I want to pray over you that you will understand what is it that God wants you to do in this season. Not only in trusting Him, but what is the most important work that God wants from you in this season of your life? What is He wanting? And of course, above everything, God wants us to be a witness. And so you're going to come across people at work and everywhere else that are hurting. And understanding this in your life is going to help you in ministry to others. So I want, if this is you, I want to ask you just to come right quickly and stand here in the altar. You realize you're in a very challenging season. And I could just pray over you in this time of your life. And then we're going to be dismissed. Now I want to remind you, let me just say too, while you're coming, just a little aside, I want you to remember, come back tonight. 6 o'clock here in the worship center. The choir and orchestra are going to be presenting our Christmas musical. I'm looking forward to that, just hearing that we always are blessed. And so come back together as a church tonight. Let's gather together. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for speaking to our hearts. God, thank you for opening our eyes that there's not only seasons on this earth, there are seasons in our life. And we're not in control of that. We're not in control of the season. And understanding this and yielding to it can lower our blood pressure. It can relieve anxiety because we're not in control. But there is a God, there is a Father that is. He controls the seasons of our lives. Because He's making us more and more His son and His daughter. Our Father has not left us. He's with us. And our God will be our supply when we come out on the other side of this season. But what we want to do is learn in this season that we don't stay in it on and on and on. So, Father, for every man and woman standing here, I pray, Lord, you will help them understand their season and learn the lesson you have for them. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for these Christmas days to celebrate the birth of Christ and the entrance of God into our daily lives. Thank you for making life worth living. We bless you now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless. You're dismissed this morning.